One feels we should commence this afternoon with thinking of the person of our Lord Jesus. Can we turn to Psalm 16? During the readings previously in this week, we've had him at the back of our minds somewhat as the one who worked out in practice the teaching that we've had in those five chapters. Can we see in Psalm 16 the foundations of the life that enabled him as a perfect man to fulfill all that James has exhorted us to do? Very briefly in Psalm 16 to start the conference. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore. It will be evident to us all that though David might have experienced something of that which he gives expression to in this psalm, it can only apply in its fullness to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And equally that the characteristics that he shows as portrayed in this psalm are expected to be seen in each one of his people. He has left us an example, says Peter, that we should follow in his steps. The things set out in this psalm are the things that should be seen in each one of his children increasingly until they're in the glory. Now I don't think I should say any more on a practical line in that way. I'll leave you to work it out as you meditate upon it later on. Preserve me, guard me, O Lord, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. We must be clear, it's as a perfect man, a pilgrim here upon earth, that the Saviour is speaking here. And the one who could deliver the sick and raise the dead and still the storm had all that power at his disposal. As far as he himself as a man was concerned, was one who was completely dependent upon his God in every circumstance of that life from Bethlehem to Calvary. He never used his deity to help him out of any situation. He was utterly and completely dependent for every need and in every circumstance of those 30-odd years upon his God as a perfect man. I want to impress upon us that these things we read in this psalm were true of him every single second of that life. I know it's beyond our comprehension, but by faith we must lay hold of it. There's a boy, there's a teenager even, and on into his public life, he was dependent in all the stresses and strains, the difficulties, the opposition, dependent upon his God as a perfect man. A dependent man. That's why he could fulfill all that James has exhorted us to fulfill. Not only a dependent man, but we went on to read, did we not, in verse 2, O my soul, thou hast said unto Jehovah, thou art my God, or my Adonai, my sovereign Lord. This was an obedient one. as a man, he owned the despotic power and the one who was in complete control of him. He owned his God as his Adonai, not just as his God, his creatorial God now, but the one who was in complete control. His own will was broken as a man, in complete subjection to the will of his God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Young ones here today, even when as young as you, the Savior's will as a man was in complete submission to the will of his God. And through every moment of that life, that will was in submission. Never did anything of himself. The Son can do nothing of himself, says John. And it applied to him as a perfect man. Thou art my Adonai, the one from off the throne of heaven, the Creator God in human form, took the lowest possible place as a perfect man and never exercised his self-will for one moment. Now, one's not going down the psalm verse by verse. We'll deliberately avoid the difficult parts so that we don't confuse anyone. He goes on into verse 4, where he speaks of himself as a sanctified man, shall we say. But he will not take part in the false offerings, the idolatry of those he moved amongst. He was separated from anything that displeased his God. What a perfect one this was. Moving in a world where spiritism was rife, where movement contrary to the mind of God was rampant. Here we have that which the Nazarite of old portrayed. He was not a Nazarite in fact, but he lived out all that the Nazarite pictured. And he was completely sanctified, set apart for his God as holy. Again, I repeat, as a boy, children here today, if you're saved, you must keep yourself holy. Older ones as well. Throughout that life, as we often think, he was infinitely holy. Verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. This is the one who grew up the object of the ridicule of his brothers after the flesh, no doubt. They couldn't understand him, this holy life in subjection to the will of his God, in complete dependence upon his God. This was one who lived in poverty, left the glory of heaven, and had nothing here upon earth at all. The very one who was ridiculed, the one betrayed by his own followers, the one who many of his disciples deserted when he put his claims upon them. As far as we're concerned, he should have been the most disappointed of men. What did he have? He says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I'm moving according to the will of my God. This is the way that my God wants me to move. And I'm completely satisfied with the portion given to me. Oh, what a picture this is of how God's people should be satisfied today. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before my eyes. He is one as a perfect man. Day by day his God was before his eyes from the moment he woke throughout the day. He never did anything without thinking of what was the will of his God, doing it in the very presence of his God, as though his God was visibly before him. I have set the Lord always before my eyes. Never for a moment am I moving out of his sight. Never for a moment is he doing anything that won't stand up to the test of his holy presence. I have set the Lord always, every waking moment, before his gaze. Whatever he was doing, in the carpenter's shop as well as in his public ministry, one wants to get the scope of these verses over the whole circumstances of his life. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, my champion, the one who will guide and advocate on my behalf, and above all my champion who will support me in any predicament in which I am. Therefore I shall not be moved. This is the stable man. The man who's able to move, especially through those 3.5 years of his public ministry, with opposition pressing him in on every side. How am I straight and narrowed down until it be accomplished at the cross, increasingly pressured upon him until he came to Calvary. He was able to move in a stable, steadfast way, unmoved from that path set out before him, because his eye was upon his God every moment. Moving according to the will of his God, he was conscious as a result of the power of his God on his behalf, at his right hand, right by him, not there in the glory of heaven so much, conscious of his presence unseen. Therefore I shall not be moved. We go on to think of him as the confident man now, I believe, in these last verses. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. I trust we see the force of this. Lazarus had died, and the moment Lazarus died, his body started to corrupt from that very moment. And everyone who'd been raised from the dead, their bodies had been corrupting. Lazarus really in the advanced stage of corruption. But he is one who had the confidence of a perfect man. Going into death, the place of corruption. And for the first time, there was a man going into death, confident that he'd be raised, never seen corruption at all. For that blood shed upon earth would not affect the body so that it corrupted. The flesh that would corrupt would remain pure and holy. And this man, I emphasize his manhood, as a perfect man had complete confidence in his God, that he would be raised incorruptible, pass through the most extreme of trials and tests, and be raised untainted, uncorrupted in any way. All the confidence of this perfect man before. Confident that an eternal glory lays ahead of him as a result of the perfections of his life. And these are the reasons why, as the perfect meal offering he could offer himself at Calvary, is because of the conduct of his life in complete submission and obedience to the will of his God. A sanctified, holy life, putting his God always before him, he's able to take himself to Calvary and offer himself there as the perfect burnt offering. A life offered up in its entirety to God. And give him infinite pleasure. I don't need to bring before you the inferences of that on Romans 12. We're to follow these example of his. And each one of us should be able to offer ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, each one of us here. Or may we be encouraged to think of him. And as our high priest, he's been this way before. He knows every problem that we will pass through, every pressure upon us. And as the perfect man we've been thinking of, he's able to strengthen us to react to those circumstances just as he would react. Oh, the wonder of it, brethren and sisters. He was tested in all points, like as we are. No test can come our way that he hasn't been through in principle. And the one whom Psalm 16 brings before us, in the glory of heaven today, in the light of those experiences, is enabled to strengthen, encourage, provide for you and me to pass through the tests, through the trials, through the circumstances and disappointments of life, in the same way, with confidence in our God, that ahead of us lies eternal glory. And while here upon earth, we can offer ourselves to him as those living sacrifices that will bring him pleasure and glory. Oh, may we be encouraged to follow his example for our blessing and his glory.